Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation, an application to our daily faith life, is found recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 1 through 20. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. And Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, "Ananias," and he said, "Here I am, Lord." So the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying, and in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight." Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." And Ananias went his way, entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. So far, our sermon text. In Christ Jesus, whose resurrection changes lives and gives us the assurance of a blessed future, dear fellow redeemed. The first 8 chapters of the book of Acts, Luke's main focus is on Jerusalem and the Jewish Christians. The church grew so large that the apostles found it impossible to take care of the poor and the needy widows and orphans. They knew that they were supposed to continue to preach Christ crucified and risen again as Jesus commanded them. So they chose 7 deacons to help them in the day-by-day service of charity and benevolence, so that they would be free to continue to preach Jesus. And so we read in the last verse of chapter 5 of the book of Acts, "Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they," the apostles, "never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ." One of those 7 deacons is a man named Stephen. He's a powerful man, a man filled with the Spirit, who not only served the needy widows and orphans, but he took it upon himself also to preach and to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen again. And when the unbelieving Jews heard this, they accused him of blasphemy, hauled him before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish Senate, and they condemned him, and they took him out and stoned him to death. One of the men who consented to Stephen's stoning was a man named Saul. In fact, the men who threw the stones, laid their coats at Saul's feet for Saul to watch their coats while they killed Stephen. But from that point on, in his book of Acts, Luke changes his focus from Jerusalem to the entire Mediterranean area and to the Gentiles. In chapter 8, we hear of Philip's effort to preach the gospel to that Ethiopian eunuch, so he would go to Ethiopia and proclaim the word. And the rest of the book of Acts primarily speaks about one of the greatest missionaries the world has ever known, a man named Paul, who had been that man named Saul, who had consented to Stephen's stoning. And that leads us to this morning's theme. The resurrected Jesus changes lives. The name change from Saul to Paul was not the greatest change in Paul's life. The greatest change in Paul's life was from the resurrected Lord. The resurrected Lord Jesus changed both his past as well as his future. So we read again our theme and our parts this morning. The resurrected Jesus changes lives. First of all, removing our past. Secondly, directing our future. Jesus didn't just change Paul's past. He removed it. Saul had been a fanatical, self-appointed crusader for Judaism. He hated Jesus. He went down and hunted down Christians in faraway places to haul them back to Jerusalem so that they would be killed. What do we read Luke saying in our text? Saul was still breathing out threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. He had gone to the high priest and got the authority to go into the very synagogues themselves. And if he found any of the followers of the way, he'd arrest them. Followers of the way was a name they gave to the Christians, probably because of Jesus' statement, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Saul was intent on one thing, stopping the way and bringing this Jesus movement to an end. But at the same time, Jesus was intent on one thing, bringing Saul into his kingdom, making him part of the way, so that he would preach the gospel, so the Jesus movement would flourish. So Saul was riding just about to Damascus to do his deadly deeds. Suddenly a bright light flashed around him. He fell off of his horse, fell to the ground, and he heard a voice from heaven. Now before this time, we don't believe that Saul ever saw the Lord Jesus personally, but now he would. He heard a voice from heaven saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Who was speaking? It is none other than the crucified, now risen and ascended Lord Jesus talking from heaven. And he gives Paul a very direct question. What's the reason for you persecuting me? Are you defending the faith? Are you in love with power? Are you so filled with hatred? Saul is persecuting Christians. But you notice what Jesus says? Why are you persecuting me? Remember what Jesus said to his disciples in Luke 10? He who hears you, hears me. He who rejects you, rejects me. Saul was directly persecuting the Lord Jesus. But from that time on, it was the Lord Jesus now who directed the affairs of Paul's life and told him what to do. Paul's companions were there. They saw the bright light. They heard the sound. They didn't hear Jesus' voice, nor did they see the Lord Jesus. But they knew something amazing happened, because when it was all over, their leader now needed leading. He was struck blind. Imagine those soldiers' thoughts. What just occurred here? What just happened? How did this happen? How's Paul blind? One can imagine also the thoughts that were going through Saul's mind. as he's now led blind to the Sea of Damascus and placed into a home to wait. Wait for what? The last thing that he saw was a bright, shining, risen Lord Jesus appearing to him from heaven. What thoughts do you think were going through his mind? Terror? Fear? Sadness? Shock? Disbelief? Sorrow? Repentance? Faith? Hope? Well, as Saul sat there in that room for 3 days, the Lord in a vision appeared to a disciple named Ananias and told him to go to Straight Street, to go to a home owned by Judas, and there he'd find a man named Saul of Tarsus. Ananias probably knew where Straight Street was because historically Straight Street was the main street that went through Damascus. He maybe even knew who this Judas was and knew where his house was. But we do know that he did know who Saul of Tarsus was. He responds by saying, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." And Ananias is understandably quite leery about the Lord's call. Saul's reputation had gone before him. And Ananias knew that Saul was coming to Damascus, to the synagogues, to arrest people just like him, who believed in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so Ananias is probably thinking, and now you're telling me what, Lord? You tell me to go and say, "Hi, Saul, I'm here to heal you"? And Ananias probably was thinking, it's good that Saul's blind. And probably I shouldn't go and talk to him. But the Lord gives him another command again. He says, "Go." And he fills in all the blanks. And he gives him reasons to not be afraid and not be confused. The Lord says, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." And amazingly, Ananias trusts the Lord, and he goes to visit Saul. It appears that by now, the Holy Spirit had worked saving faith in Saul's heart. Because when Ananias approaches him, he addresses him by saying, "Brother Saul." They're not just blood brothers, being fellow Jews. They're now blood-bought brothers, believers in Christ Jesus. Remember, Saul was a Jew's Jew. He was a strong Pharisee. He kept all the regulations and ordinances of the Old Testament. He knew the Old Testament scriptures very, very well. He knew about the coming Messiah. He didn't believe that the Messiah was Christ, was Jesus, but now he saw Jesus in heaven alive, and he knew that Jesus had been crucified and had died. And now all those passages of the Old Testament the Holy Spirit used to lead Paul to believe that Jesus is indeed the Messiah, the Christ. So Ananias quickly tells Saul that he has come to bring him a blessing. Actually, two blessings. One physical and one spiritual. After Saul said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you came has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit," immediately there fell like scales from off of Saul's eyes, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. Saul's physical blindness was cured. His spiritual blindness was washed away. His life from that moment on was completely changed. Amazing. Amazing grace. The Lord Jesus would use this Pharisee who hated him, who tried to kill Christians, now who was a believer in Christ, to be his spokesman, especially to the Gentile world. Saul, who previously had believed that you're saved by your works, by keeping all those ordinances, all those regulations of the Old Testament, now boldly preached, salvation is only through Jesus, believing that Jesus is the Messiah. The Savior of publicans and sinners chose this fanatical Pharisee as his instrument. That's one reason why Paul used the word grace over 100 times in his letters. His life was changed by God's grace in Christ Jesus. But not just changed. His whole past was removed. All of his sins of arrogance and pride and self-righteousness and unbelief and hatred for Jesus and arresting Christians, it's all washed away in the shed blood of Jesus and in his baptism. And Jesus was working in this man's life through the power of the Holy Spirit to say, you are now an apostle, an eyewitness of my resurrection by seeing me in heaven on the road to Damascus. And Paul didn't waste any time. We're told he ate, strengthened himself, and immediately he went into the synagogue where he was going to arrest those of the way, to now proclaim the way. He's going to arrest Christians, now he's proclaiming Christ. And Paul spent his life, in fact, gave his life, to proclaim Jesus, the one who lived the perfectly obedient life, the one who died the sacrificial death, the one who rose triumphantly for all of us sinners. And amazing grace is that the Lord has done exactly the same thing with you and me. This gospel message of Christ crucified and risen again has changed every single one of our lives. We were all dead in our sins. Now we're all alive in Christ Jesus, baptized in Christ, instructed in Christ. And now the Holy Spirit leads us to live for Christ in all that we think, say, and do. So let's not waste any time either. Right now we're in God's house, praising Jesus, repenting of our sins, basking in his joy and glory. But in a few minutes, we'll be walking out those doors, going out into society, the society of our jobs, our schools, our families, fellow people. We pray the Holy Spirit gives to every one of you and me the zeal that the Apostle Paul had to tell others about Christ, to speak his name, and to spread his word. The Pharisee, Saul, was struck down. His self-righteousness was completely shattered. And from that time on, the Apostle Paul considered himself to be the chief of sinners, the worst of all sinful people. But he also knew Jesus to be the Savior of all sinners. Isn't that comforting to me and you? That is so comforting to all of us who know so well our sins in thought, our sins in word, our sins in action. But we also know that Jesus has come and washed away all those sins with his shed blood. We are God's chosen instruments as well. Now, we probably won't be preaching before kings and princes like Saul was. But we've been called upon to make his name and make his works known to those whom we know, to those whom we meet. May that be our purpose. May that be our calling in our lives. Even if it means, as in Paul's case, suffering for Christ's sake. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.